Good morning. Teresa Schuler is out of town, or on the way out of town. Steve is out of town. Jim Baker was supposed to lead worship, and he called yesterday with a strep throat. So would anybody like to lead worship? You feel confident doing that? I've done it before, so I will do it. Yeah, got the word late in the afternoon, and so I didn't call anyone. I've been asked to announce that Mothers and Others Banquet, you probably will get an invitation. If you don't, ask for one. This is for mothers and others, and women especially. And Elizabeth Guin will be here at the end of this service in the vestibule with some information that you might want. So she called and asked that. I think someone else gave me a bit of information as we were kind of coming up here, and I've forgotten what it was. Did somebody tell me something that I was supposed to say? Okay, speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay, there are a number of announcements in the bulletin. I call your attention to them, and committees in session will meet tonight. Session at 6, the committees prior to that. Also, the barbecue and silent auction is on the way. The lists look full, or almost full. They can always take another one or two on the list. The assignments have been made, or many of them have, and that's 2 weeks from yesterday. Ed, this goes to a prayer concern. Ed Stiskowski's father passed away. I guess it was Wednesday morning?
No, it was Monday.
And he journeyed to Florida to take care of the arrangements there, and he's with us this morning. And you have guests with you, Ed. Would you like to? Welcome. And Ed's dad had been sick a while, and
actually, he did very well till the end. He was only sick for the last 5 days, but he's been in the nursing home.
Been in the nursing home for a while, but had a good time till the last 5 days. Okay. And then Saturday at 2 o'clock, we'll have a service in memory of, or memorial service for Miss Marie D.D. Davis. And if you don't know, that's Joyce Thomas's mom. And they'll be here at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. We have other announcements in the bulletin. I ask that you just look at them. If you are available, the last week of June, and I think the first day of July, we could use people to work with General Assembly. We'll be meeting in the Cool Springs Marriott, and we need hosts and hostesses just to be there. So we have a sign-up list later for that, or maybe a recruiting drive. Do you have any prayer concerns from the congregation?
There's not prayer concerns, but Kids for Christ is
95. Kids for Christ? Did we get that in the bulletin?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. 95. Okay. Kids for Christ, that's fifth grade and younger, right? And any other announcements or prayer concerns?
Mary, I would just like to thank all of those that have sent the Brooklyn Goldberg and Carl. Appreciate it. Thank you for that.
Anyone else that has a statement?
Okay. I can offer a praise of sorts. Joyce Lovelace, who's on her big prayer list, I was just looking for she has lymphoma, and they went for a test this past week, and the cancer in her lung is gone. They can't find it, and the one in her groin, they can't find that one. So that's a praise, and she's still going to take chemo, but she's doing great, and just thank the Lord that these advances have been made for her. It's probably his business because the doctors have come back.
Amen. Okay. Let's bow for a moment.
Oh, no. just the name of Robert Martin. He's a 35-year-old who thought he had the flu, ended up with a leaky valve, had valve replacement, and then had complications. The son of a co-worker.
Yeah, Robert Martin. Please put all of these names on a card and we'll get them printed. In the latest. Get a little overlook anyone. Let's bow for a moment of quietness. The psalmist tells us, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. To him to stand on. One is maybe a little bit new, but let's stand together and sing 66 and 115.
Thank you. you bow your heads as we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, it is praise the Lord. It is hallelujah. Because you have been so good. And you are so great. Lord, we come this morning just to thank you for being our God. And letting us be your people. We thank you for calling us from death to life. From sin to salvation. We thank you for wanting us to be a part of your kingdom. Your family. And Lord, as we have gathered this morning in your name, let us truly worship you and let us hear your word. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. To put into words what we believe, we turn to our Apostles' Creed. If you want to follow the hymn book, it's 716. It's on the wall behind you. Maybe we can call that a screen. Let us state our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Soon the world of love can warm up in.
89. We'll sing only one verse of that. It is only one verse.
Some of you may be familiar with that. Play that through just a little bit of it. I think they'll start to hear it.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have blessed us in many, many ways. You've blessed us spiritually. You've blessed us in physical ways. You've blessed us with health. You've blessed us with material blessings. And Lord, you've called us to serve you in many ways. And Father, we pray that we truly can give glory to you through our every action, through our every day. And even this giving of our tithes and offerings, may it bring glory to you. In Christ's name, amen. you may be seated. And Jessica is going to read our scripture lesson this morning. And there are hard words in it. And we practiced them a little bit, but she's going to make a stab at it. Welcome, Jessica. Speak my name.
The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered to Moses, "Walk ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hands the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called out to the place, Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is this the Lord among us or not?" The Amalekites came out and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight at the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand up on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joseph fought the Amalekites, and Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands on one side and the other hand so that it remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. When the Lord said to Moses, "Write on this scroll as something to remember it, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." The word of God for the people of God.
Didn't stumble at all. Thank you, Jessica. Wednesday evenings, we've been for the season of Lent and after Easter, the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at some possibilities for the church in the future. The program is called To Touch the Future, and we are looking at various areas of the church to see if we can learn from God, if God will reveal to us what He would like us to do in the various areas of the congregation right here, whether it be done here in this neighborhood or someplace else. Some things are already being done, and maybe some have been inspired from our studies. On this chart here, we have a number of suggestions around the over the top and the down for you, the right side, suggestions from, and across the bottom also, from the Reverend George Estes when he was with us about a year and 3 months ago in January of 04, and he came and interviewed with some of you, met with others at a fellowship dinner, and talked to people in the community about our church. And so the orange and the yellow are from him. The white cards are cards from the congregation as we met during the season of Lent and studied the Bible, prayed together, and tried to listen to God through those exercises of Bible study and prayer. And that education and discipleship, these were the suggestions that came out of the education ministry, or came under education / discipleship. It was quite interesting that five different persons suggested that we help people discover their spiritual gifts so they might know better what God has prepared them for and has gifted them to do, and might minister in that way. So the bottom five are all concerning spiritual gifts. The others are concerning Sunday school or other educational discipleship ministries for the community or for the congregation as it already is. These areas, we've kind of got headings and the cards, the ideas, dreams, and visions listed under the various areas of the operation of the church, like worship, music, celebration. So we've got a number of suggestions under that. Under facilities, we got a number of suggestions under that. So this Wednesday night, we're going to look at the suggestions, ideas, dreams, and visions that people shared concerning our physical facilities here, our church plant, or our building and grounds. Now, I say all of that to say that the church is on the move, whether very slowly or whether very rapidly. And the book of Exodus is about a congregation of God's people on the move. It's about God moving these people. God moving His chosen people. We find the choosing back in Abraham, the 12th chapter of Genesis. And the Israelites, because of a number of things, a famine mainly, they ended up in Egypt. And 400 plus years they lived there, and as the change of administration came about, they became hated slaves. And they didn't care too much for the Egyptians. The Egyptians were in control, though, and God's people, special people, were slaves to them. And Exodus is about God moving His people, a congregation of His people, from bondage and slavery in Egypt to life in a land flowing with milk and honey, a land called Canaan. And I would like to relate their experience to our experience. We've had a great congregation here. We do have a great congregation here. But there is so much more. We could just be a congregation living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan, it was not a trouble-free journey. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, in essence. Or that's generally what we want to talk about. Dealing with troubles in the congregation. Not necessarily the troubles. We have the same troubles in 2005 that they had back then, before Christ. What was it? 1,000 years? 800 years? 1,200 years? Something like that. Circa, thereabout. And I don't know what it was. Some have tried to figure it out. But we have the same people, kind of people that we're dealing with. And it's not a trouble-free journey that we're on as a congregation. And it wasn't a trouble-free journey even when Moses was leading them, God's people. Even after God had spoken to Moses through a burning bush. Do you remember the movie American Vacation? Do you remember that one? How much trouble did anybody have? Seriously, somebody, that wasn't X-rated, was it? I didn't think it was, but I don't know if I've ever seen it. Didn't want to. Maybe a little stupidity reveal. But they were going across country. They bought this Dodge station wagon. Reminded me so much of one of my former brother-in-laws. I could, every time if the Chevy Chase did that, opened his mouth, he was the father. Every time he opened his mouth, I could think of my brother-in-law. The bad problem with that, though, I was probably the brother-in-law. You remember the brother-in-law, too, though. He probably saw me as the stupid brother-in-law. But they went across the country, and then they later went to Europe and for a European vacation. But trouble along the way. the word was dealing with our grandma's puppy dog, I guess. Oh, I thought that was a bad one. But I don't, you know. It was not a trouble-free journey. Has anyone ever started on a vacation, any of you, and had a trouble-free vacation? Something probably happened somewhere that would be considered trouble. If nothing else, if you have two children, they probably got to argue with one another. If you just had one, that one kept saying, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Aren't we back home yet? Anyhow, it was not a trouble-free vacation, and I think American vacation may exemplify some of the troubles that they may have had, similar, going across country, or that we have as a church. Certainly, there was no problem along the way for the Israelites, though, that God could not handle. If you put that in your brain somewhere, there was no problem along the way for the Israelites that God could not handle. There is no problem for us, no difficulty for us that God cannot handle. No difficulty that God could not overcome for them. And likewise, I'm convinced there is no difficulty that God cannot overcome for us. Now, I must say, He may not do it like we want Him to do it. He may not do it just as we order Him to do it. Probably won't. But He can overcome any difficulty. Yes, this journey in the book of Exodus is somewhat like our journey. We're on a journey as God's people. God leading us from where we were to where He wants us to be. Nothing remains the same, does it? We're going from one situation to another, from one place to another, from one level of spirituality to another. Hopefully, we're going to where God wants us to be. Early in the book, God called Moses to lead the people, the Israelites. And God led the people. Did you have an outline? I think you can find all of this in your outline. Did the outlines get distributed this morning? He led the people out of Egypt. And that was quite a task. Does anyone remember how many plagues God sent? We're not dealing with the plagues in detail. We're dealing with God getting them through the plagues, or even past that. He led them through the plagues. Okay, He led them through the Red Sea. I saw him want to argue it wasn't really the Red Sea. It was the Sea of Reeds. He led them through a sea somewhere anyway. He argued all they wanted. I just kind of read it. And even this was not without difficulties. Even leading them through the sea. But every difficulty, God enabled them to withstand and to make it through it. The Israelites were at the sea. The sea was in front of them. The Egyptians changed their minds. The leader changed his mind. And he had agreed to let them go, but then he had a second thought, and he said, no, we'll call them back. We need these workers. And he sent his armies after them. So you got a sea in front of you and an Egyptian army behind you. A difficulty to deal with, right? But the sea opened up. Go back and read that story. And they got across on dry land. The Egyptians thought they could do it too. They got into the sea. And guess what? It became muddy ground. Muddy ground. Then the sea swallowed them up.
Chapter 15. And I've called your attention to chapter 15, 16, 18. We read 17. And also chapter 35. You might want to, well, your bulletin, your insert says 35 too. So 15, 16, 17, 18, and then chapter 35. In chapter 15, we have this marvelous song. Go back and read that. Just read this song that allegedly Moses led. Moses led them in a song. Maybe he wrote the song. A song of praise to God. And he kind of gives an account, a summary of what has happened up to this point in getting out of Egypt. And then, in verse 20, Miriam is Moses' sister, and she begins to lead the women in song. She gets her a tambourine and starts beating that tambourine and invites the women to join her in a song of praise. And then, chapter 15, verse 22, they begin, or the writer begins to tell of some of the problems that Moses faced as their leader. They were going through the desert, and there was no water. And I believe it was 3 days they haven't had any water. That reminds me of us taking a trip as a family. We can leave home and get no further down Clovercroft than Wilson Pike if we're going down Clovercroft, and we've got to stop and eat somewhere. And that's not just the kids. That one doesn't get out of here, and it won't get mentioned in the later service, okay? But we get no further than Wilson Pike, and we've got to stop and eat somewhere, okay? Well, Moses was leading the people. I don't know how far they've got. They said, "We're thirsty. We need to drink. We're just starving to death." And if you read this, they said, "What did you do, Moses? You brought us out. We were comfortable. They were slaves. But they forgot how bad it was. And they were thinking, we were comfortable back in Egypt. We were so comfortable, and now you've led us out here to die." They found water, and they take a sip of it, and it was bitter. You ever drank milk mixed with bitter weeds? Or the cow ate bitter weeds? Any of you ever had that glorious experience? One of you have. No one else but me and one Lord, Jimmy, have the experience of taking a sip of milk and the cow's been eating bitter weeds and bitter milk. One back there, maybe more than that. Another one here. Wow, you don't want any sweet milk at all, do you? You have to push it back. It doesn't even taste good on cereal. No way. Well, they got there, they had water, bitter water. I don't know much about drinking bitter water, but I've had some salty water. Went to school down in Scuba, Mississippi. You go get a drink of water and it would taste salty. I don't know what caused that. Maybe they put salt in it to get the lime out or something, but it was salty. One time, some of our friends, while we were going on a wedding trip, came in and emptied our ice trays and poured them full of salt, and we put that salt. Salty tea is not good, friends. Especially for a newlywed couple, see. But anyhow, so they got the water, they found water, and it was bitter. Well, God solved this problem. He had Moses to throw a stick of wood, a particular wood. Read the story. Had Moses to throw a stick of wood in. I think it's chapter 15, verse 25. And then God set up some rules. Here in chapter 15, God set up some rules. Move to chapter 16, if you will. Chapter 16 is about God providing bread from heaven to feed the people. We call it manna. The scripture verse is manna. They were going along and they ran out of food. I guess they took some unleavened bread with them. And they finally ran out. We don't have this in the story, but you can imagine. Why didn't they have food? Maybe they was hoping to hunt along the way and kill wild game. Whatever the reason, they ran out of food and God gave them bread. It was manna. And
He gave the details about how to gather it, how much to gather on the sixth day of the week, and how not to gather any on the seventh day, but how not to gather more than one day at a time except on the sixth day. And you can read that. And he gave this bread from heaven. It's kind of like it appeared on the plants to feed the people. And they were not happy with bread. So then he said some quail. Bob White Quail. I flipped into the channels yesterday and saw a little story about Bob White Quail. No, it was on the radio. I'm really confused now. Talking about the Bob White Quail population in West Tennessee. And they were sounding like Bob White Quail. They were making these noises. So they had bread in the morning. Is that why we eat cereal for breakfast? Bread in the morning and quail at dusk. And the latter part of this chapter is about how the people wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen. He tried to tell them how to gather their food, and they thought they knew better. But every time they tried to go against his instructions, they'd have bad, smelly food. So it's about how they wouldn't listen to God. Problems along the way. Chapter 17, verse 1 through 7 is about another problem. No water. No water and a complaining people. Moses prayed to God, and that's the passage you have printed before you, asking what he could do. And God sent him to Horeb, H-O-R-E-B, and with some elders, and God said, I'm going to be present before you there on the rock at Horeb. And you are to strike the rock, and water will gush out of it, and the people will drink. And they did. So, no water, bitter water, God solved that for Moses. No water, found a rock. Who would ever thought of getting water out of a rock? But they got water out of a rock. There in Horeb, or Horeb, and they drank. And then in that same chapter, beginning with verse 8, it's about a battle. Joshua is basically the center of attention here, or maybe a supporting character. They go out to battle with the Amalekites. Or with Amalek. I guess these are the Amalekites or Amalek. And it was a battle between Israelites and Amalek. Joshua was the leader of this band of Israelites, and he was sent out to battle. And Joshua defeated. But did you hear the story? He was, not that he was defeated, he defeated Amalek. The story? Moses went out and held up his hands. As long as he held up his hands, Joshua was winning. But he got tired. You try to hold up your hands 2 minutes. You know, they used to punish us in school to hold up a book for 5 minutes, and you just can't hardly do it, can you? That was cruel and unusual punishment. It was usual punishment, but it was cruel punishment. Cruel and usual punishment. Hold this book up out like this for, you know, and you drop the book. After, I would. But when Moses had to hold up his hands, it's just as tiring to hold up your hands like this. And you get tired and you get tired. So he sat down on a rock, and they put some who was the other one? Her and somebody came and held up their arms while he fought the battle, while Joshua fought the battle, and Joshua defeated. Then chapter 18, this is about Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, coming and encouraging Moses to obtain some help in his leadership. Elders, they find you 70 elders and appoint them and let them help you in the leadership of this congregation. And then Moses did. And then in chapter 19 through 34 is about God giving the commandments and then the supporting laws that go along with the commandments. And even instructions for building a tabernacle. Building a building. Finally, the Israelites are going to have a building to worship in. A tent at that, but still a building. A tent building. So 19 and 34 is the experience of God giving commandments. And chapter 35 is building the temple, or building the tabernacle. The problems that Moses and the people had are the problems that Moses and the people face and dealt with are so very similar. And I think also symbolic of the problems that we face. It's not water. We've got water most of the time. But every once in a while, water, the main line breaks on Sunday morning. Have you been here when the main line breaks on Sunday morning? We can't have any coffee, and there's some other necessities that we can't take care of. So we have water problems sometimes. Very similar. The story hasn't changed, has it? But God got to do it. Now, I think reading Exodus, and especially chapter 15 through 33, we find our story. Do we not? God gave them the law. Moses came down from the mountain. We skipped that one, didn't we? They came down from the mountain, and what did he find? They had made a golden calf and were worshiping him. They had fallen away. The story of the Israelites going from Israel, from Egypt to Israel, is the story of you and I living in today's world as God's people. There was complaining. That's those other people, right? Wonderful. There was confusion. We've been confused a little bit, haven't we? I just think of Beverly. Beverly's taking on this new job, and she's called up about Jerry. Can I talk about you, Beverly? She just gets so confused. But you've got through every one of them, haven't you? So far, we'll keep on doing it. Don't give up now. Yeah, doing the newsletter. Beverly's doing the newsletter now, and but she's got some great trainers to encouragers along the way. There were a lack of supplies. You know what's wrong? We run out of paper here. I don't know who the purchasing agent is for this church, but I've been doing it for 17 plus years, and I forget to go buy paper, and then I forget to go buy cartridges for the printer. And you might have seen a little white spot there under, we enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. Preacher didn't go buy a cartridge for the printer. We have leadership problems. And we have the preacher thinking he's the only one with a good idea. And Moses was, he was trying to handle every problem. And then, the building project in chapter 35. And we're in a building project, but we're not getting along too good. We got codes here and codes there and more codes here and situations here. Probably have some rock if they ever move the topsoil off. And, okay, but we'll get through them. We'll get through them. Three things. God supplied their every need. And Paul picked this up in Philippians 4:19. He says, "My God shall supply your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And he shall supply our every need." Our need now. Need. Number two, the people had to work together. Louise, y'all have been working together on this barbecue situation. Nancy, you're working together on this hosting that reception. And people are working together. Tonight, Steve will be here working for the children. Is that right? You're going to be here? Okay. But work together. But I'll come and hinder a little bit and snatch a little food off the table. Okay. And Andrew will help. We work together, won't we? We'll do something together, you know. Okay. And although we might give up on God, or be tempted to give up on Him, God doesn't give up on us. This melody, you'll come to the piano. Ask the people to turn to page 52. Oh God, our help in ages past, and our hope for years to come. Remember when we looked at Exodus last week? Moses was reminded, and he was to remind the people, that it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that was talking to him and was going to lead them. Their God of ages past. Our God of ages past, even as far back as Abraham, and further than that. He is our hope for years to come. Psalm 52. This journey that we go with Him. You are dismissed.
Thank you. We met for 2 days, haven't
we? Yeah, we have.
Hey, John. Back to more rain tomorrow. We know they're out there getting back.
markers are absent from the other. Now, I don't know if 100 markers are coming from the other. It's really interesting. It's funny when that is
there.